Godzilla.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nobody. Did my nobody go over the air? Did that go over the air? Yeah, I was saying nobody cares about the All-Star game voting in baseball. Nobody. But we're not here to talk about that right now.
That's right.
We're here to talk about Robert Kraft, who spoke a short time ago after the Myra Kraft Community MVP event that happened, with the media wisely choosing to cover that event, knowing that Robert Kraft would likely speak after the fact. And he wanted to go on record to talk about what had been out there last week, rumor that there was a Gronk trade, and there's now reports from Adam Kirkchin, Boston Herald, about that. Here is what he said a short time ago.
I guess when your team is good, people are looking for things, and I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up. And I think we have to be careful in society today that people just can't come out and say things. And this bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just, there's no basis to it, and it gets a life of its own. And I just want to go on record at today's event to make sure that you all understand that there's no truth to that.
Pretty clear. Strong denial.
Yeah.
Obviously makes his case, makes a convincing case by having such a strong denial.
I didn't veto it.
But in all these situations, in all of these situations with any team that we talk about, if it were true, is he going to come out and tell you it's true?
He's telling you what was not true. He didn't say that the head coach didn't chop him in the offseason. Wasn't asked that. The fact that I didn't veto it, there was never a trade for those teams, and it didn't happen.
No, I know doubling what he said. I know what he said. Which is what
I mean. Teams are going to spin. Yeah, teams are going to. But I'm just protect saying what they do.
And it's not fair. It's not a fair setup for anyone in his position.
But he's pretty pissed.
If the report was true, is there ever a time where someone come out and says, "Yeah, that is true"?
I think you would come out and say, "Well, there are certain things that happen, not quite exactly the way it's phrased."
You
can't go on record like that.
Talk about hogwash. That right there, what you just said, is hogwash. Oh, they'll come out and sort of confirm it. No, there is no way in hell that if it was true, that he would come out and tell you it's true.
How about this, Beetle? Maybe, when this has been asked in the past and they don't want to flat out lie, somebody would say, we're not going to discuss conversations that took place between any of our players, but we're very, very happy with Rob Gronkowski. We want to be a Patriot for a long time. But to get into the ins and outs of the discussions of what Bill does or what our directors of player personnel do, no, that's not my place to speak on that. But trust me, everybody wants Rob here. Make no mistake about that. That's a slightly different way of answering it. That doesn't necessarily have the no, that didn't happen factor.
This is an angry denial by him. This is different.
This bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just, there's no basis to it.
What about the other teams?
That's his out. That's his out.
How many teams left? Yeah.
he has plausible deniability now because he mentioned the two teams.
Technically, yes. Yeah.
If it was two other teams, then it wasn't complete hogwash.
And again, not fair to take this word for word. It is not a crafted statement. No,
no
pun
not
intended.
At all.
You know, he's not giving a speech. He's not issuing a statement. He's speaking off,
that's
the,
off
cuff.
The cuff. There,
so
genuine. That's genuine.
I'm not going to hold his feet to the fire for only mentioning two teams, Jim. Although I picked up on that too.
Let me say this: if it were true.
Not totally fair.
What was the question, though? Was the question about those two teams?
If everything that was in that Kirkchin tweet was true and actually happened, who would want it buried the most out of all the parties involved? Who would not want the world known about that?
I would say the ownership, because you don't want to say that I cut the coach's legs off.
You don't want that out there again.
I wouldn't want to. For me, if that did happen
and Bill hears that, I'm pissed if I'm Bill.
Bill doesn't care.
Oh.
Bill already tried to trade you and then had the meeting with you, and he said, hey, I got deals on the table, and I'm willing to do one. Are you going to fall in line or what? What does he care if it gets out? The player already knows. He's already told him
but
himself.
But he doesn't want it getting out that he doesn't have the power to execute trades like that.
True, but, well, he doesn't like that he doesn't have that power, but would he be... Would he be angry if someone knew about it? Look at me. Look at me. I'm getting...
He's the boss.
I'm getting my legs cut out from underneath me.
Bottom line, he's the boss.
You know, did it happen with the Garoppolo trade? Did it not happen with the Garoppolo trade? And now you've got this situation. Who is the most motivated party to try and bury that story if it were true? And I'm not saying it is because I don't know. That's all. I'm just giving you the other side. I'm giving you the skeptical view.
It's a case between ownership and the coach. That's the argument.
Yeah.
Neither one of them wanted out there.
Pick one.
I think whatever issue that there was settled that Tuesday that Gronk met with Bill with his agent.
Well, what's gonna endear you to the fans more if the truth gets out? Who would look better in the eyes of the fans if it did happen and the truth got out? Who are fans going to side with?
Robert.
So, Bill is the one who at least wanted to get out, if he cared about what the fans think.
But he doesn't, and we know that.
Right.
He doesn't give two bleeps about what you think.
Big monkey wrench that you throw in there.
But he doesn't, and we all know that he doesn't. He's never cared about that thing.
With the crazy scenarios, too, and everything that was like thrown out there in terms of what it could have been and what you would give up to get Gronkowski, I'm not convinced it would have been the wrong move. There's a lot of stuff to consider. You have the opportunity, if you were another team right now that were in desperate need of a tight end and you were kind of on the bubble of being a competitive team in the playoffs, what would you give up to get Rob Gronkowski? Just about anything they were asking for.
I don't know, Wood Garoppoli, second-round pick. I'd give him a second-round pick. Bill, I got a great top-of-the-second-round pick for you. It's basically a first. It's just top half. It just happens
that's
to be
top
in the
half
second.
Of the second round.
He's so selective. I mean, you think of all the trades. I mean, whether it was Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Garoppolo.
And do we get
Bill
the,
does not
do we
shop
get the NFC discount? Because we're in the NFC. You don't have to play us. Do we have the NFC discount?
Yeah.
Make sure you take off an extra 15%. Thanks. Because we're not Cleveland. We're the any team but Cleveland team. Can we get a discount? Carlos and Lowell on an earlier topic, talking about Klay Thompson. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
So there's been reports that Klay Thompson is not going to actually re-sign with the Golden State, or I think it's not pick up the contract extension for 2018. And I just wanted to know if that is directed to, like, maybe their push to get LeBron James. And if, like, let's say they don't get LeBron James, I mean, if he doesn't stay, Klay Thompson doesn't stay with Golden State, does that maybe potential for Boston to pick him up? And I think he'd be a great fit. And I just want to get your thoughts.
No, Klay Thompson to me is not going to be in the Celtics.
I mean, if it means that LeBron ends up playing with
targets, I don't
Steph
think.
Curry and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. Go get every other top 10 player available. Sign him to your team. Get him to do whatever you want. You're not beating them. No one's beating that team. Ever.
But I think he meant just because they were flirting with him, Klay wants out, even if they don't get him.
If they don't get LeBron.
The bottom line is, do you want Klay in Boston?
I'm not against it, but...
It'd have to be a sign and trade. That'd be tough to do.
Yeah, that to me is just not what I'd be focused on if I were the Celtics. Like, that to me is not worth juggling things and worrying about. And
focusing on whether or not Gordon Hayward's going to need another surprise surgery between now and the start of camp.
Yeah, that's
stuff
true
like
too.
That. Make sure that Kyrie is really good to go. Let's focus in on those two guys. Keep an Al Horford healthy. You want to re-sign somebody? I'm not saying you got to give him every dime he's looking for. Marcus Smart. There's a player that I think is going to help you down the stretch. Focus in on those guys.
I think that just makes it harder with your money, and I don't know how much better your team is. To complicate your cap situation and really
for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work.
That would have been a last summer move.
Yeah, exactly.
Gordon Hayward.
Last summer would be great.
That's a piece. It's
not too
much
work now.
It's a great piece. It's a really good piece.
It's a good piece.
There were even the rumors that he was being traded here, and we got excited about those rumors.
I'd rather stretch for LeBron.
Shot down him quickly. Yeah. Billy and Waltham. Billy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
The reasons, all right, so LeBron's never going to come here, and the reasons why are the same reasons why you think he'd be such a great fit here, because he's never going to, Stevens and Ainge aren't going to bow down to the king there, so you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to come to a situation where he's not in charge of everything. It's just not going to happen.
So that's why you think he won't end up here with the Celtics?
No, exactly.
Right. I would agree. If he only wants things to be the way they've always been for him, then the Celtics are not the spot for him.
Yeah. If he does a complete 180 and changes his whole mindset, then that's a whole different story. But if it's the LeBron that we've all come to know, then that's probably going to be the scenario.
Right. If it's the LeBron that he has always been, he's not picking Boston, which is why I've always said he doesn't want a team like Boston. But what if all of a sudden he says, I've only got so many years left, and I want to win, and I will sacrifice anything I need to sacrifice for winning. If that means I can't be the center of attention, or I can't coach the team, or I can't tell my GM how to manage the team, then I'll do it, because I've got to win. Maybe he's willing to put those things aside, and I think if he picks Boston, he knows up front he has to put those things aside.
Yeah. What about you guys? Would you be pro LeBron still if he was his old LeBron and came in with the old demands and all that stuff?
No, hell no.
Because that's not going to work.
No, that's a teardown. I don't want this torn down.
What does it mean, teardown?
Meaning, I don't need him as the coach. I'm the GM. I pick the players. I'm going to assemble this. I'm going to bring my two guys in that I want, and then we'll bring my little experienced shooting guard. Give me my, whether it was a Ray Allen or a Kyle Korver or Mike Miller, whatever. That's going to be my guy.
That's never happening.
That ain't happening. That's LeBron like, 5 years ago.
Like what, Jim? I think the only thing you could be referring to is
just saying how far in on LeBron are you guys? That's all I'm saying.
He gives Brad Stevens a hard time. He makes it difficult on the coach.
He knows he can't do that.
He makes it difficult for his teammates. He starts complaining about his teammates. That to me, I am out on. What are you doing?
Good. At least you guys have some standards.
If you're coming here, you can't be that guy. It just they won't put up with it. No. You know, LeBron says, I want the coach fired. Well, no, you can't. You're coming into this team. No, I'm not saying you blow up everything for him. He's got to be, an adult is what he's got to be.
No.
Those are the terms.
Get an amazing track record of acting like an adult.
He's also never had a situation like this one. Ever.
Yeah, a really good team that's going to win the conference without him anyway. Don't need him.
I know, a good team with a good coach, good GM, good owner.
Yeah, he's a team that's going to win the conference without him. So why do you need him?
Because you don't want to win the conference. You want to win the NBA Finals. We've been over this before.
But you're not guaranteed to win the finals with LeBron James or anyone else.
That's cool trophy.
If you have LeBron James for 3 years, I guarantee you win a championship in those 3 years.
All right. Well, now I almost want it to happen.
I'd offer a personal guarantee.
There's three. I got three now.
If you have a 3-year window, I would personally put a guarantee on it.
You,
I would wager things.
LeBron James?
I would make promises to you.
Yes.
That I would keep, Hardy.
Peter, like this intern.
Promises so June 2021, Hardy can stick it in your face.
What kind of odds?
If it doesn't happen.
I don't know. We'll discuss it
over
the break. Okay, does that sound okay with you? Yeah. More of your calls next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Think you'd be alright, I could just crash here tonight. You can see I'm no shape for driving. Anyway, I've got no place to go. And you know it might not be that bad. You were the best I ever had.
You know what?
It
might not be love.
Tomorrow we could drive around this town. Let the cops chase us around.
Hey, thanks for lunch to Flatbread Brighton.
Hey, Flatbread Brighton. Guess what that is,
man.
Pizza place.
That was good.
It's good.
Real good lunch. You can visit them on the web at bowlbrighton.com.
Oh, look, just quick sentence fragment.
That's right.
It's a sentence fragment place to eat.
They've got bowling there. Located inside Flatbread Brighton.
Flatbread
in
Brighton?
The heart of Boston Brighton. Landing.
Boston Landing.
Just right boom. On Guest Street in Brighton.
Mm.
Check out their pizza, and you can go in there and bowl. Really cool spot.
Nice.
Check them out. 76 Guest Street in Brighton. Bowlbrighton.com. What do you want to talk about, Zoe?
Talk about temperature. What was it like out, Hardy?
What's it feel
what
like
feel
today?
Like, Hardy, for you?
Well, is Zoe doing this right now? Your
yeah.
feel like temperature of the
well,
day?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Okay.
We've been teasing
so,
it all day.
What's
the,
like it?
The actual air temperature outside at the airport is 76 degrees.
Yeah.
Now, Zolak yesterday stumbled onto something of giving his own feels like temperature. Yeah. Normally, if you're watching the news, they'll say 76 officially in Boston. With our heat index, it feels like 79.
Yeah.
So just a little bit of humidity.
It's
in
a warm
the air
day.
And blah, 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 blah. Zoe is a much more detailed
yep.
feels like temperature. So Zoe's 76 degrees
yep.
in Boston at 124. Feels like what?
Feels like about 4:35 in a late July day. Just got off the beach and you just popped out of the shower because you took a little outdoor shower because you had the salt on you, but it got it off.
And the like sunny
sun's
share?
Not going down yet, but
what
it's going
to
be.
What does share have to do with it?
What do you mean share?
You said something about you pop on the share, like sunny and share?
Shower.
Oh,
you get
shower.
The shower.
Okay.
Outdoor
oh,
shower.
Right.
You know, you get all the salt off. And your buddy calls and say, hey, why don't you grab a kiss? Come on down. Chart room meet there for a mudslide at about 6.
So you think
so it's about somewhere, it feels to me, somewhere between at 4:30, you had a great day at the beach. You had nothing to do tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Saturday. And, hey, let's go out for a couple mudslides.
So you think today's
I'm going to kick it to chart room.
Right.
Right. Today's 76 degrees.
Going there and drink. Right.
38% humidity and wind 17 miles an hour feels like late July.
But it feels like it was 85 degrees during the day when you got smoked at the beach, and then it's towards the end where the sun's starting to drop a little and it's not so hot. So the kids had it, they're exhausted. You know, they need something to eat. So, hey, let's get them a pizza and we'll go down and get a couple cocktails. So there you go. That's what it feels like.
4:30 late July feels a little warmer than this. I can't agree with your feels like temperature. I can't.
Now the breeze coming off the water. But you feel the heat. You feel the difference in the heat today as opposed to yesterday?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, yesterday was like October.
It's like Backdraft.
Today is summer.
It's like Backdraft the musical. You can feel the heat. I know.
Yeah.
you can
feel it. Remember when we were in the Super Bowl and they fired off those fireworks like that with Katy Perry? And,
yeah.
Whoa.
We could felt it on the face.
Remember we felt that when she came in roaring like a lion?
Yes, the heat.
Oh! Beetle yes. and I are like, whoa, we got suntanned up here.
Could feel the heat.
All right.
And there you go. There you have your real,
there's
Zoe's
your
real feel for the day.
Right.
Real feel on the temperature. Butters in Tewksbury. Butters.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Long time listener here.
Nice.
Been listening all day. Gronkowski comments were great. The only thing I'd like to say is I'd rather Jason Witten at this point. But anyways, commenting on LeBron, would love to see him come to Boston. The gripe that everybody has, of course, is that he's his own coach. So, solution, gentlemen, I'll hang up after. Fire Brad Stevens. Give him a hell of a contract.
On there, but it sounded like there was something bad there at the end.
Something
so
fake was
know.
Coming. I felt yeah. like I'm going to disguise my voice.
I'm going to
be a guy named Butters.
I'm going to assume the entire call was an unfunny fake phone call when you're talking about firing
we've
Brad
had, like,
Stevens.
We've had three of those
in
today.
Order to accommodate LeBron James.
Do we have the earlier one that we got that really didn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense? Do we have that one?
Oh, Mike? The guy Mike that called in?
Yeah.
Well, can we hear that back again?
We should be.
Or should there. We? Or should we do it? Save that
no,
for today's
no,
takeaway.
No,
I was going to do it as a takeaway.
Well, you can.
We didn't mention this at the time. Yeah. We're going to mention it now.
We might as well.
Okay, let's go.
Well, wait a minute. We should play it.
Yeah.
When Dan Shaughnessy was here, and among other things, we had talked about Dan's appearance on NBC Sports Boston.
Yes.
With who is he on with? Tommy Curran.
Tommy Curran.
And then last night on Adam Jones, they were talking about both. Dan Shaughnessy and Tommy Curran, they both called into the show. So, you know, those things had come up while Dan was here, and then we took this phone call.
Mike in Townsend. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's 448 there. You're Mike.
You're Mike.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you? Hey, Mike. I would go for LeBron after his next one, like we did with Shaq. You know what I mean?
You're making a joke, then.
It's not a joke. Like, he can come in, so... Yeah. He's not going to commit to the next
Yeah, Shaq
one.
Did a lot for this team when he
what
came
is,
in here.
Okay, what's the beginning of 4-4-8?
Okay, our theory, the working theory.
What does 4-4-8 mean?
We don't know. But the working theory in the back room is that that was Tommy Curran, based on the initial two syllables he utters.
Well, it's actually later. It's not the first two.
For me, it's the first two. Then I think he sounds the most like Tommy Curran.
Hold on. After the 4-4-8
he starts
thing,
to disguise his voice.
After that, where he says, hey,
Jim. Give me it again, Jim, please.
Right? Mike in Townsend. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's 4-4-8 there?
I'm not there.
Not that.
You're Mike.
You're Mike.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you?
Right there.
Sorry.
Holy crap. Tim. I mean, that to me is...
That don't play sounds anymore. Like Tim. That sounds like Curran. Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you?
That's him, though. Dan Tech, yeah.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
That's him. And then he disguises his voice.
Wait, is it thanks for having me? What's that from?
That's from Adam Jones last night.
Oh, you put them together.
Tom put those together.
Morgan,
hey,
you magnet.
Dan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Good for you, Morgan.
Good T-bone. For you, T-Bone.
I called it.
Zoe's got a knack for hearing voices and
right away,
knowing what they are.
He looked at me and he goes, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I thought it. I think it is.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Then he goes like to the marble mouth. I'm gonna disguise my voice.
Right, right.
Right. Then it gets all weird.
He was
after
doing
that.
One of his characters.
Get him on a Shaq.
It's one of the infamous
call.
Tommy Curran.
I'm gonna get him on a Shaq stuff. Good stuff.
One of his.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, one of his bits. It was a bit.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. I like him.
I like him a lot.
Any confirmation or denial from anybody? Reach out to him?
No. I mean, I don't think anyone picked up on it other than us. So I don't think that,
I don't need it.
I don't think there's going to be any denial. Maybe you can call it hogwash.
He's like, who?
No, we got a couple tweets about it.
Oh, we did.
We did.
What did they say? Can you read them to us?
I thought that was Tom Curran calling in.
Hold on.
Nothing's crazy, just simple.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just kind
of... I'll get to the bottom of this.
Please. In the meantime, can you give us headlines?
I might have the answer in my headline.
Oh! All right, then. That's worth listening to.
All right.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Sports Hub Headlines.
But first, the Red Sox and Orioles will play the second of three tonight. It's Eduardo Rodriguez to the bump. 7-1 on the year with a 3.68 ERA. He'll duel against David Hess, who's 2-2 on the year with a 3.07 earned run average. Last night, Red Sox and Orioles played 12 innings. Sox got two runs in the top of the 12th and then held on to get the 2-0 win in the first of the three-game set. Day two of the Patriots' voluntary workouts. They're final sessions of the voluntaries for this spring. Yesterday, they were out on team-building activities, Fenway Park, among other places. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, as expected, not in attendance. Pistons have a new head coach in Dwayne Casey, the former Raptors head coach. The Celtics' Abdel Nader underwent wrist surgery. He's going to be out of commission for a few months. And as to whether or not that was Tommy Curran, we still don't know. Headlines are brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Rob Mayo did and start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. 866-77-LASER. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Oh, there's breaking news too, Hardy. You almost missed it. Andrew Luck has thrown the Duke.
Oh!
Breaking news out of Indianapolis at this hour. He has picked up the Duke and thrown it.
Should we preempt our break here? Should we just roll with it and take your calls?
We'll talk about it in a moment.
Okay, load them up.
Lolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You get that answer you were looking for yet, Hardy?
Nope.
What'd you do, send a tweet or something?
No.
What'd you do?
I emailed him.
Oh. All right, then. Let us know if you hear back. Richard is in New Hampshire. Hello, Richard.
How you doing, guys? Hey, I just wanted to run this by you. I've been running this in my head for a little bit, trying to come up with a scenario that'll work for LeBron getting over to the Celtics. And the only thing I could come up with, and let me just get this out there and let me hear what you guys have to say. Danny goes to Kyrie. Kyrie agrees to talk to LeBron. LeBron is so fed up with losing to Golden State in the finals that he's willing to take a contract. He's got all the money he needs now. He wants to worry about his legacy, that he's going to make it a contract that'll work to keep the team together as is, work in Brad Stevens' scheme of defense and offense, lengthen his career. He'd have to sell all this. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about the possibility of LeBron finally just checking his ego, saying, hey, I got to start winning more championships. I'm sick of Golden State, and this is what I'm willing to do. I'll hang up and listen to what you guys
I think
to say
all
about
of that.
It.
Okay, yeah, Richard, all of that has to be the case if he's coming here. Here's my question. Let's put a number on it. And it's really the same chance that he comes here, the same chance that he decides to check some things. Of the
number tour. Meaning what? Years or money?
Percentage. Percentage of it happening. What do you put as the odds of LeBron to the Celtics? Percentage chance.
30%.
Wow, that's you think it's a 1 in 3, basically a 1 in 3 shot.
Yeah. So I think you're one of the three teams he could potentially go to. I everybody thinks it's Lakers.
You know, you can think beyond that, though.
I think you're going up to L.A. to,
right,
in
you
essence.
To wait it. You don't say, you know what I mean? There are three teams that he's considering, therefore you got a 33% chance. Well, no, you might have 5% chance. One team's got 90% of the odds.
I think you look at it as 70%, he's not coming.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it, because you're 30%. I think you got a 30% shot.
That still feels strong.
That feels strong to you? That's
yeah,
not
it
a strong.
But there's three teams.
Here's what I think.
I don't think the Celtics will get 30% of this. I'll say 15%. I'm going to cut that in half.
He ain't going to L.A. to win a championship.
Chance.
He's going to L.A. to worry more about everything else in his career. He's going to L.A. to burn out.
I'd say it's
basketball.
40% Philly, 40% Houston, and then every other team that's been discussed chops up the remaining 20% chance that he gets it.
It's okay. Celtics get 15 of it. So
of those teams that you mentioned, though,
7%,
Celtics, Philly, and Houston, he has the best chance to win here. If he cares about winning
like,
in legacy,
should Philly
unless
Houston
Kawhi and Paul George go to LA with him?
Should Philly and Houston have equal odds?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
No. Houston should get more of that.
Why?
Houston's a better situation.
What's the first team that got talked about when this whole mess started? Philly.
I know they did, but that doesn't mean that I believe he should go there or that he's really actually considering it. We don't even know that.
Who's got the best odds at what?
Getting him.
Okay, so we've been taking this from LeBron's perspective.
Yeah.
Where does he have the best chance to win?
Boston or Houston?
See, with Houston, you still have to get past Golden State to get
that's
to
the
game where you win.
That's the problem. That's
what I'm
saying.
Problem with going out west.
I think he goes out west to burn out basketball-wise. I think if he wants to continue to compete and win championships, he stays in the East, and basketball winning is important to him. If he goes out west, it's all about the next phase of his life. Movies or whatever, and entertainment,
right,
and meeting actors.
Or just goes
to
the Lakers and doesn't care about winning.
Lakers are going to be a Laker.
Yeah,
going to
live in L.A., beat LeBron in L.A.
The money part, if you believe Windhorst, he wants a max deal only. Which is about $35 million if he signs with a different team, I believe.
He makes twice that in endorsements every year. Why is is the salary?
I'm just saying what Windhorst said a couple weeks ago.
Well, he would know.
You know any good houses Windhorst could buy?
Not anymore. By the way, we have an answer on the 448 thing.
Oh.
You want to know what that meant at the beginning of the
I missed the reference.
Okay, the beginning of the phone call. That we think might be Tommy Curran calling in to talk with us and Dan Shaughnessy. And do we have that again, Jim, just at the very beginning? He says to Dan, I believe.
Mike in Townsend. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's 448 there.
You're Mike.
You're Mike.
What does that mean?
448, the top definition, according to Mark, who sent this to us on Twitter, means I hate you in phone digit code. Because the I and H are both on the number 4 on your keypad, use the number 8.
Oh,
brilliant.
That is
so,
too
Tommy, for
brilliant.
Instance,
that is too good.
I text Zoe. Zoe, where are you at? Zoe texts back, I'm at this event getting paid $10,000 to tell jokes for 5 minutes. I text back 448.
Hey, Mike, is 448 there?
Is the guy I hate?
Why is he even asking? Hey, Mike.
Now it could be totally different. He could have been on another call or on a walkie-talkie and tried to talk to security guard number 448.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
That's so him.
It sounds like Curran.
It's him. Okay, just stop.
Urban Dictionary 448 means I hate you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much smarter. Wow. So much smarter than all of us. And right over our head. You should pick up on that stuff. Code.
Not this time you didn't.
Not that time.
Ryan in the North End. Ryan.
Hey, how you doing today?
How you doing today?
I have 2 points, one on Kyrie and one on Julian. I called him last week about Kyrie saying the only reason LeBron was going to take a meeting with us was to get in the Kyrie's head.
Yes.
And literally then the next day, what breaks but Kyrie Irving thinking about going to the New York Knicks. I don't think LeBron has any interest in coming here. He's just trying to dismantle the Celtics because we're the biggest competition for him in the East. If, you know, Kyrie is going to the Knicks, Philadelphia would be a shoo-in for him because he's a guarantee to go to the Eastern Conference Finals every year, to the championship every year. So I still think it's just like a conspiracy to get rid of Kyrie. So that's my take on that.
So it's a plot on his part. Okay, yeah.
Well, I think we're all playing into it. Like, we're all talking about, like, oh, do we want LeBron? Like, what would we give up? Like, and you know Kyrie's listening because, like, he's an egomaniac.
Every
like,
day he's
definitely
listening. Every day, yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's listening to you.
That'd be your fault, Beetle, like Hardy said.
Sure.
Your fault if you left.
That's true. And then my other thing about Julian would be, you know, when Deflategate happened, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, it was more reasonable than not that we did something, and it set a precedent. And now with Julian Edelman, like, he hit a marker, right? But they don't know what he took. That's like this like, we always kind of wondered, like, what would happen with this precedent? We're seeing it now where the NFL can now be like, you know what, it's more likely than not that Julian took something, even though we don't know what it is. We can banish him because of this marker. And it's
all right,
really
all right. Okay, Ryan, I'm going to cut you off right there because there's an update on that front. First of all, it's not the first time that's happened. We told you the first time that happened yesterday with the Balco case and the four Raiders that got popped in 2003. So this isn't new. Here's Burt Breer with an update on his report.
This test was flagged, and it wasn't what came back wasn't immediately recognizable. Now, he got a letter from the league. That's what happens. A letter goes out. So the league does know, the league did have what it is, and I don't know exactly what the substance is, but the substance was in the letter. The fact that it wasn't immediately recognizable is going to be part of his defense. And so there are analysts on the player side that are going back and analyzing that now. And so what you heard from the fact that Julian put that in his statement, I don't know what happened, plays right into what his defense is going to be when this thing gets to the appeal, and it's not there yet.
That's the update from Bert. When they initially received the positive result, they did not know what it was for, but before they sent him the letter, they figured out what it was. They knew what it was. They've identified the substance to Julian Edelman. So the substance has been identified to Edelman in his letter. So the time period of them not knowing exactly what it was a matter of days. Not weeks, not months, but for a few days they were unsure what it was. Julian Edelman's defense is that because they did not know immediately what it was, therefore it's a bad test. Good luck. Good luck with that. So, there you go. That is
the he's not winning it.
He won't win.
They got the name. So.
Now I'm sort of curious to know what it was. Aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
What kind of space steroid you on?
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time now for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of the Boston Celtics. Boston Red Sox. Talk a lot of Celtics today, so it's on my mind. Little LeBron, little Kyrie, official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Check it all out, awaken180weightloss.com. Talked a little bit about the Patriots today also, and Robert Kraft did a at an event for charity. Was asked about the Rob Gronkowski supposed trade meeting, and here he is on the record.
I guess when your team is good, people are looking for things, and I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up. And I think we have to be careful in society today that people just can't come out and say things. And this bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just, there's no basis to it, and it gets a life of its own. And I just want to go on record at today's event to make sure that you all understand that there's no truth to that.
So there you go. Doubled down on it, called it hogwash. But it did say to Tennessee and San Francisco, so it gives them an out if it's like, say, Pittsburgh or Buffalo. Yeah. But it's good to have somebody respond to it.
Yeah. Hardy, did you have anything?
I have few things from Dan Shaughnessy today.
Oh, excellent.
Several instances of Dan either, well, you know what, I guess we can just let them roll, Jim. I don't even know what order they're in, but they're pretty self-explanatory.
Dan Shaughnessy, Dan, was there any peace made last night? It doesn't feel like there was any peace being made.
Peace train my ass.
Drake at TD Garden, third show added September 9th. American Express card member presale now through Thursday at 10 p.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
I love the Drake.
The Drake.
Another rapper here. Watch out. It's Grandmaster D. Anybody know that?
He's so thrown
from
off
Houdini.
By that. He's so that, and what's to be thrown off by that? Grandmaster D.
He's so beyond non-hip. He's so old.
I understand if it's Dr.
Read it over
if it's
times.
Dr. Dre and you look at it as Dr. Dre.
Grandmaster D.
Yeah.
Anybody know that?
Anybody know that one?
No.
Houdini?
Am I saying that right?
What?
Grandmaster D.
But Dr. Dre, that'll live in infamy.
What? Vanna White, 58. Still turning the letters.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon, 51. Is it Dre or Dre? Dr. He's a rapper of some sort, I'm assuming. Dr. Dre.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish. And motherfuckers act like they forgot about
Dre.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish. And motherfuckers act like they forgot about
Dre.
While Dan Shaughnessy was in studio today, we got a surprise visit from our friend Lenny Clark, who came in. He's doing a charity event coming up on Thursday night with Zoe down in Falmouth, and he's doing a show, him and Steve Sweeney, and he came in, he wanted to promote it, but, you know, we get a lot of things that we promote, right? Whether it be, you know, who brought lunch today, or,
yeah,
you know, flat, Super right? Bowl, okay, at the end of the interview, what are you promoting? There is no one that is worth the plug more than Lenny Clark.
Good plug, man.
Because every time he brings something with him. And today's delight was a story about going to Studio 54 with Don King.
Oh.
I met Dan at Studio 54 one night. I was opening for Kennison at Caroline's, and Don King comes in and says, "You want to go to Studio 54?" And I said, "Yeah." So we get out of Studio 54.
So this is in the heyday.
And this was just after E.T. had come out, a couple years after E.T. come out. And we go in this ante room.
Was he in there, too?
What?
Was E.T. there, too?
No, but you know who was? Drew Barrymore. And so we're doing blow with Drew Barrymore. Right. And I straight to Kenneth and I said, "This isn't right. She's a young kid." He goes, "Shut up. It's her blow." But the Indian wasn't in there with us. But I met the Indian going out. Uh-huh. I think he hit on me. I wasn't sure.
Was he dressed like? How'd you know he was the Indian?
He was dressed like the Indian. I said,
he had chaps on? Nothing on his
head? No, he had
the headdress.
Thank you, Hardy. I'm a mess.
So the Indian from the Village People goes out to Studio 54.
How do you know it's
dressed
him?
As the Indian.
He's dressed like an Indian.
Oh, but the line in there of the day was, "Shut up, it's her blow."
Should we be doing blow this young kid? Oh.
So thank you, Lenny. Thank you, buddy. Always providing the laugh.
Don King was had a table in the middle of the dance floor at the House of Blues in Las Vegas, right after an HBO fight one night.
Yeah.
And I'm going in there to DJ one night, right? And we don't start until midnight. I'm like, all right, HBO party over. Everybody clear out. Time for me to start, you know, spinning on the ones and twos. Don King is sitting there with Larry Merchant and the announcer, Michael Buffer. And I said, how do we start playing? And one of the bouncers at the House Blues came up to me and said, Don King won't leave. He says he'll leave when he's ready to leave. I said, his table is in the middle of the dance floor. This is now a nightclub. The private party is over. He says, you want to tell him that? And I said, no, I do not. He said, just do your thing. So I started playing the music. Everybody crowds around the dance floor and dances around Don King's table, sat there kind of waving his cigar just long enough so that we would know he was going to leave when he wanted to leave. And nobody said crap to him because they didn't want to get pistol whipped to death like that guy in Cleveland
exactly
50 years ago,
right?
Which he never went to jail for.
They definitely didn't want to do that.
No. Okay, Mr. King, you know what he said? Do whatever you want.
Lenny, you're a fighter from the womb to the tomb. Wow.
What a story. What a story.
Drew Barrymore.
It couldn't have been right after E.T. It had to have been a few years.
Yeah.
She was like eight in that. I mean, she was a young teenager involved in the drugs.
When did Drew Barrymore?
But no, not just when she started doing drugs. It was when did she start going to Studio 54 and doing drugs? She had to have been a teenager. She couldn't have been 8 years old.
How awesome could that place have really been in its heyday? Like, really? Like, when, just to see the people in line.
What? Drew Barrymore emancipated and legally separated from her parents at the age of 14.
Yeah, okay, so that's years after E.T. So she may have been 14.
Parents divorced when she was 9. Her mother began taking her to nightclubs up to 5 times a week, and that's when the young girl started taking drugs.
Oh, when she was 9?
9.
Oh, maybe Lenny did have the story right. Oh, God. That's horrible.
You mean that's not normal? I don't know. I bet you Murray could give her a run for her money.
What's worse, taking candy from a baby or taking an 8-ball from a baby?
Or taking nose candy from a baby.
That's it. Biddle wins.